you, everyone. This is going to go, but with the good Lord's leading, we'll get through it. This morning, our scripture lesson is going to be from the book of Deuteronomy. That's clear up in the front of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I love the Old Testament. I preach out of there more often than not. And I've had pastors actually tell me that the Old Testament isn't relevant anymore now that Jesus has come again, that he has superseded all of the Old Testament, and we don't need to study that anymore. I don't tend to agree. I think if you don't understand what's in the Old Testament, I don't know how you can understand what, how Jesus came here and what he did for us and how he did it. So bear with me, and we're gonna make do a little road trip. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Well, our precious Heavenly Father, as we open this portion of Scripture this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through these lips of clay, words of eternal value, and Lord, might we understand what you have for us, and Lord, might we apply the things that we learn in our everyday walk with you. Lord, we pray these things in the power and the authority of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, as a lot of you know, about the first oath from chapter 4 on through 14 of Deuteronomy is about the commandments that that God sent down with Moses for his people. And he pounded it into their heads over and over and over again. Don't forget me. Give me the honor and the glory that I so richly deserve. I could read many passages as we go through these 10 chapters, but one was brought up this morning in Sunday school, and that was in chapter 6, in verse 4, and it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And God wanted to be sure that the people knew that. He's getting ready to receive Moses up on the mount. And Moses is going up for 40 days and 40 nights to fast and receive the Ten Commandments and take them down to the Israelites and tell them how they're supposed to live their lives when they go into the Promised Land. And the Lord just keeps talking and talking about to Moses about, tell the people this and tell them that I am sovereign God and I am to be praised and I am worthy of praise and to cleave themselves unto him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But the Israelites, being a stiff-necked people, and it mentions that here as well. They have trouble. You know, God knows that when he sends the Israelites into the land that he has promised them, they're going to be mingling with people who are non-believers, who are heathens, if you will. They are going to serve other gods. They're going to be a stiff-necked, arrogant, proud people. They're going to be comfortable in their ways. They're going to be affluent. It talks about the Lord giving the Israelites these things that the inhabitants of this land had, and that they will become comfortable, and they will be drawn away. So they're, like today, mingling with the inhabitants of the world, and they're being influenced by the inhabitants of the world. But yet, God keeps telling them and telling them. And I don't know how many of you have read the account of Moses going up on the mount to receive the commandments. But he's up there 40 days and 40 nights fasting and before the Lord and praying for the Israelites and for their salvation. And at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, it says, in my vernacular, God told Moses, you better get down there because they just made a golden calf and they're getting ready to worship it. after 40 days. So that's the way that these people were. They had to be constantly, constantly reminded that God was sovereign, that he was their strength, that he was their pillar, and that without him, there was nothing they could do. You know, when I come to the pulpit to speak, I pray to the Lord, do this through me, who am a weak vessel, because I don't have the strength to do it myself. I got an email from Pastor Dave yesterday. It said, do you have the strength for tomorrow? I texted back and said, no, but Jesus does. God will bring me through. He will strengthen me. And I pray, and I am confident that he will stand, hold me up in his right hand, and he will have the things said that he wants said this morning. So it was a constant struggle. On and on and on it went. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, was so angry with the Israelites that he threw the tablets of stone down and broke them. And God said he was going to judge the people. He said he was gonna judge the Israelites. And Moses yet got upon his knees before the Lord and said, no, they're your chosen people. You have a covenant with them. You have to overlook their faults. You have to be merciful towards them. And so God relented, and he told Moses, he said, get thee two tables and come up on the mount again and bring the Ark of the Covenant with you. And I will give to you the commandments again. So again, he went up on the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Then he came back with this tablets of stone in the Ark and read them to the people. So they're dealing with a stiff-necked, prideful, arrogant people, just like we are today. We have been down through the centuries, down through the ages. We just, because of the sin that overcame us when Adam and Eve were disobedient in the garden, we have been plagued with that. So, and it makes you wonder if they would have followed the Lord with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength throughout this occupation of the promised land, where would we be today? Maybe we would be a weak people. Maybe we wouldn't have the strength to stand with the Lord, because he always puts these trials in front of us to strengthen us. And if we're just kind of floating down the river on our comfortable and getting along, then we're not getting anywhere. It takes persecution, and it takes trying for us to grow in the Lord. So kind of a just a recap of what God told Moses and what his heart was. You know, he had a heart for his people. He loved them, and he wanted them to obey him. But now we come down to verses 9 and 10, again in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And this is going to be the context of our message today, if the good Lord is willing that my voice should hold up for the next 20 minutes to half an hour or more. And verses 9 and 10 says, only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. They've seen these things. They've seen the miracles that God had performed. They've seen what he did for his people. And they know it. It's stored in their hearts. And then it says, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. excuse me, verse 10 says, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So God has given Moses and the people another commandment. He said, you make sure that your children and your children's children remember these things that you have seen and you have heard, and tell them so that they don't forget. And we're going to review a few verses here, and all of them are in Deuteronomy. The first one is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. If my voice starts getting weak, I may call upon one of you to come up here and read these passages as I quote them for you. Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which your Lord, the Lord your God, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statute and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Okay, so there he is again, telling them to teach the sons and daughters, and make sure that you let them know. And then we move on down to verses 20 through 25 of chapter 6. And it says, when thy sons ask thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, and here he tells them exactly what to tell them. We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So again, he's telling them just exactly what to tell the sons and the sons' sons. If we go down to Deuteronomy 11, skip forward a couple, three chapters. And I would, this is, as I was preparing for this message, I started at chapter 4 and I read through, I think, 14 or 15 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's powerful, powerful message. I would encourage each one of you to read that, to study on it, and think about the Lord and what he has done for us in that day and in this day. Deuteronomy 11, verses 1 through 3, says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen, the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all of his land. So here he's saying that the reason is because the sons and the sons' sons, they won't have been personal witnesses to what God did. And the only way that it will be remembered is if it's passed on down through the families. And so then we go to Deuteronomy 11 again, verses 18 through 23. And this is practical advice to us, as it was to them back in that day. Starting with verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. So he's telling them, teach these children in your home. Now, it warms my heart to see parents and grandparents bringing their children to church. It warms my heart to hear about families that pray together when they eat meals, that pray together before they go to bed at night, that pray together in the morning before they start their day. This is what the Lord has commanded us to do. And it especially warms my heart when I see parents and grandparents bringing their children to church. There is a special blessing to be upon the Sunday school teachers, upon the youth leaders, on the vacation Bible school teachers, upon the elders of the churches, when they love on these kids and they teach them God's word and how they are supposed to live their lives. What a glorious thing it is when you walk into a church and you see a whole bunch of kids and they're just hungry to learn. They want to hear the word. They want to hear what God has done for them, and they want to know how to apply that in their lives so that they might follow after their Lord as well. There's a passage that I'm going to read to you, and it always impacts me in a negative way, and it's out of the book of Judges. So if you go forward from Deuteronomy to Joshua, through Joshua, and into the book of Judges, where God raised up judges to judge his people. And it was like a roller coaster ride in that day. God would raise up a judge to guide the people. The judge would die. The people would turn away. God would raise up another judge, and they would judge the people, and they would die, and the people would turn away. But if we go to chapter 2 of Judges, verses 10 through 13, I believe. And listen to these words and think about what they're saying, because this comes after Deuteronomy, after the people have been led into the promised land by Joshua. Joshua has passed away now. And this is where we pick up here. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So that means that generation had all passed away. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. What we just read all the way through Deuteronomy, all of these 10 chapters, these people had forgotten. There had been a generation raised up that did not know the Lord. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that scares me, because that could be that could be today. Verse 11 says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asheroth. That's what happened. The fathers and the forefathers were not diligent in teaching their children about God and what He had done for them. And now a generation has risen up that knew not the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to see that happen. I want to see families bringing their children to church. I want to see families praying at home, teaching their kids that they don't have to follow after their peers in school. They don't have to wonder about their gender. They don't have to wonder about the sanctity of life. Because God says in His Word, and it never has changed and it never will, that life is precious. And He is the one true living God to be served and honored by us. And you know, this goes down through, I hadn't referenced any passages in the New Testament, but I looked up and there was a passage that was floating around in my mind about 3 o'clock this morning. And I finally got up this morning and I went out and I got out my concordance and I started looking up the passages where this was written. And I found it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The account in Matthew is the one that I chose to read here today. So if you think that the Old Testament isn't relative today, listen to these words that Jesus said in Matthew. So let's go forward to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you think this is important to God? I think it's vitally important. And I don't think this is a request or a suggestion, but it's a commandment that we need to raise up our children in the way that they should go. So, let's be diligent in getting our children raised up properly and our grandchildren. Let's be intentional. Make sure that they get to a church where they will be loved on, where they will be taught what the Lord did for them and what He sacrificed for them and for us. Vitally important. So I would that each one of you, and I told Janet this morning after Sunday school, I said, I would that this message would have been heard before a full house, because there are so many young people that come here. There are so many parents, grandparents, that are diligent to get their children and grandchildren here and get them before God-fearing people who will teach them and help them to raise up another generation that will know and fear the Lord and obey His commandments. Our precious Heavenly Father, as this word has been brought before you today, I thank you, Lord, for speaking through these lips of clay. I would, Lord, that you would give wisdom and understanding to those who hear it, Lord, and impress upon them how vitally important it is that we raise up a generation that knows you, that knows what you did for us, that knows what you suffered for us, that knows what you blessed us with. Lord, I think about the promised land, and that could be here today. Lord, we love you. We love your statutes and your commandments. And we pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us the strength to honor those statutes, commandments, that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified, and Lord, that your kingdom would be enlarged. Lord, we pray these things in the power and the authority of your Son, Jesus. And all the people said,